curious.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Eden Road Radio, your gateway to the world of incredible books and amazing authors. If you're looking for a good story to tickle your fancy, you want to take that walk on the Eden Road. Hi, I'm Jessie, your hostess. As always, if you hear something you like, please go to our website at www.edenroad.com. That's EDINROAD.com/radio to learn about the works here and where you can find them. Please remember that all rights to the stories belong to the authors themselves. This broadcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express permission from Eden Road. Tonight's kind of going to be fun. We've got a return guest coming back, and that's because he had a book come out this month. So, of course, we had to have author Stephen Zimmer come back and join us. Once again, Katz decided to jump up here and help me run the show. So, without further ado, let's get the man on the radio with me. Stephen Zimmer, are you there?
I am most definitely here. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, darling. How are you?
Doing good. Hanging in there.
Congratulations on the release.
Yes. This is actually the release week, and tonight is the very first broadcast I've done for the new book and the first reading. So yeah, you got the jump on everyone.
Woohoo! And you started to say you were coming down with something?
Oh, no. I'm really glad to be here because I've had a bit of a difficult week and a half because we had a passing in the family last week. And so, I'm eager to have a very positive hour here with you. So.
Me too, darling. Well, let's get right to it then. What did you bring me? I want to hear all about it. And the floor is yours.
Okay, well, I'm going to put it on speaker, so I just want to do a test to make sure you hear me okay. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from The Seventh Throne, which is book three of the Rising Dawn Saga. And you won't need to know a whole lot about the segment I'm going to read other than the fact that it gives you a lot of the action takes place on a world like ours, and then a good chunk takes place in kind of like non-physical or you might say spiritual realms. And so I thought I'd give a little bit of the flavor of the kind of otherworldly kind of aspect of this and introduce a couple of characters to people that may not have, read my work before and give you a little flavor for this particular series. So, it gets into one of the major plot threads that's in The Seventh Throne as well. So give them a little hint of what's to come and a few hints about what's come before.
Okay.
So what I'll do is I'll put on speaker. Hopefully you hear me. Let me test this out.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Got you fine, darling.
Okay, all right, so here we go. And this is the character's named Friedrich, and he is a soul that's lived, he's about 250 years old, measured by our time. And he's in a place called the Middle Lands, which is basically neither heaven nor hell, but kind of a place of kind of like development where, kind of like spirits that aren't ready to kind of go on to higher realms kind of stay and kind of refine themselves for lack of a better word. So that gives you a little bit of the setting, and the avatars that I'll be referring to are angelic-type beings. But here we go. The ethereal rainbow-hued skies had long since showered down an abundance of the hallowed sustenance that was such a grace to all the souls dwelling in a state of exile within the Middle Lands. A relaxed, timeless feeling pervaded, with not a trace of danger to the air, even within eyesight of the edge of the abyss. The reigning serenity was so different from how things had been when the living storm from the abyss had erupted, blackening the skies and sending a flood of monstrosities and fiery infernal legions into the Middle Lands. Not a speck of that terrible battle could be seen now, and unless one knew otherwise, it would have been difficult to imagine that such a beautiful sea of tranquility had been wreathed in dark violence so very recently. Shimmering golden swaths of high grasses swayed back and forth in a slow rhythm, as if reacting to something beyond the ken of the area's inhabitants. Leaping and bounding through the lustrous grasses, the two-headed Orthun chased vigorously after the diminutive fairy Asean, as she flitted through a swath of resplendent silver and golden flowers by the edge of a crystalline lake. Though the creature was huge and brawny, and its two sets of massive jaws displayed prominent sets of fangs, It was hard for Friedrich to call to mind an image of the snarling, fearful beast for whom he had intervened following the great battle with Belus' hellish legions. Eating of the pure white manna and drinking of the sacred waters that flowed from the origins beyond the ramparts of the White City, the Orthoon had been restored to full vitality. Its tan coat gave off a gleaming sheen with not a single scar or other sign of injury to be found. The Orthoon had been sorely wounded and was on the verge of having its awareness expire when Friedrich had come upon the creature following the horrific battle. It was still not certain to Friedrich how this creature spawned within the abyss ultimately functioned in comparison to the things in the natural order, and at the moment that he came upon the Orthoon, he had no way of knowing whether the creature even possessed an enduring soul. Regardless, Friedrich's deep impulse was to spare the creature when he was approached by three of Adonai's mighty avatars, Baharanji, Zehan Puryu, and the fearsome Katsfiel, bearing the great lightning-emitting sword. The high avatars had appeared ready to allow judgment on the wounded Orthoon to be delivered via Katsfiel's incredible sword, but Friedrich had chosen the path of mercy, seeking to spare the unfortunate beast that had known nothing other than hate and torture throughout its entire existence. Even so, Katsfiel appeared to proceed with the judgment, dismaying Friedrich to the core of his spirit. That was when the terrible sword had abruptly plunged into the ground before the Orthoon, delivering not even a nick to the creature as it pierced the surface and brought up a pool of the waters of life. Friedrich had been instructed to give the waters of life to the Orthoon, which healed the creature's most grievous wounds. The high avatars had highly commended him for his deep wisdom and the choice of mercy, and the Orthoon had been given over to his care and responsibility. It was a lesson for Friedrich's own existence, a vivid example that the power of mercy transcended even that of justice in the great court of Adonai. Friedrich had since realized that Adonai's mercy was what allowed him to survive in Purgatorian following his mortal death, when justice alone would have consigned his own spirit to the abyss. That incredible moment of realization had resonated with him often since, as it did while looking out upon the Orthoon bounding happy and free through the tall golden grasses pursuing ASEAN. Sele, come over here and stop pestering ASEAN, Friedrich called out from where he stood a short distance from the lake shore. One of the Orthoon's heads turned his way, followed by the second. And in a moment, the creature was charging rapidly across the ground towards him. It barreled into Friedrich without pause, pinning him to the ground with its broad paws as each of the massive heads lowered to lick each side of his face. Friedrich was simply glad that he was in a world not governed firmly by physical laws and that his spiritual form had no bones to be shaken. As things were, it felt like falling back into a mass of feathered pillows. "You asked for it," ASEAN called, laughing merrily as she drifted over on her delicate wings to hover nearby. "Yes, I suppose I did," Friedrich replied, laughing as he cast a glance toward the Perry. "Maybe I should let him swat you around for a little while longer." "If he can catch me," ASEAN retorted with a boastful edge, grinning down at Friedrich. Friedrich winked up at the Orthoon, who stared at him for a moment as he conveyed a specific image to the creature's mind. It was a method of communication that had grown swiftly between the two, a sharper, more specific version of the kind of rapport that Friedrich had enjoyed with his dog Midnight during his mortal life. In a flash of movement, the Orthoon whirled abruptly and lightly batted ASEAN with its broad right paw, sending the little Perry tumbling head over heel through the air for a few moments until she regained control of her flight. "No fair, he had assistance," ASEAN huffed, gathering her composure and casting a pouting expression back at Friedrich. Friedrich laughed, and to all eyes it looked as if the Orthoon was laughing too, as its tongues lolled out from both of its heads. ASEAN flared up at the mirth of the other two, and her entire body brightened. Friedrich was convinced that ASEAN and her ilk perceived themselves as high avatars, as there seemed to be nothing that they were not willing to take on. He was highly relieved that she had managed to make it through the terrible fighting against Belus' legions, especially when the ferocious bestial deeps, mortal enemies of the Perrys, made their appearance on the battlefield and targeted their hated foes. That thought brought another chuckle to Friedrich as he remembered his friend Valorous swatting deeps with abandon out of the air with a huge grin on his face. It was not entirely unlike the sight of the Orthoon batting ASEAN about, though she was admittedly much more comely of appearance than were the savage deeds. It was hard for Friedrich to accept that the two kinds of spirits had once been on the same side, that of Diabolus. "Speechless, are you?" Friedrich chided as little Perry continued to glare at him. "Why do I continue to be your friend? You human spirits have such hubris," ASEAN snapped back at him. "And we love having fun with our friends," Friedrich said, rumbling with laughter at ASEAN's continued consternation, including teasing and playing jokes on them from time to time. ASEAN could not brood for overly long, and the gaiety returned to her as she broke into a joyous laughter. I suppose I have underestimated him. I see your new companion has settled in quite well, came a melodious voice. As Friedrich looked up to see the tall form of Anki gliding down, three pairs of wings outstretched to light a few paces away. At first, the avatar dwarfed him in size, but Anki quickly reduced his stature until he merely towered over Friedrich. With broad, translucent wings and a body composed of uncountable, minute tongues of fire, the familiar avatar was always a vision of radiance and majesty. The luminous wings retracted inward, as if folding smoothly into the avatar's back. "It is wonderful to see you again, Anki," Friedrich stated, getting back to his feet, nodding his head in sincere respect toward the high-ranking servant of Adonai. A hint of mirth played about the dynamic face of the avatar as its blazing eyes regarded Friedrich and his two companions. "You've been quite an inspiration to many, and your incident after the battle with your new friend has been spoken of with great regard beyond the gates of the White City," Anki stated. The avatar gazed down upon the Orthoon. The creature did not cower, but it stayed to the back of Friedrich. Asean hovered a little farther back, and Friedrich could sense the Perry's nervousness in the presence of the powerful avatar. There were still some vestiges of fear that had not yet worked their way out of the Orthoon. Asean, like the others of her kind, also carried a deeply ingrained anxiety concerning the greater avatars, the unease remnants of the days when Enki and the others loyal to Adonai had been her enemies during the dark age when the Perrys had served Diablos. "Come, Sele," Enki beckoned to the Orthoon, the words having a sweet tone to them that dispelled any fears of threat. Heads lowering just a little, the big creature padded slowly towards Enki, coming to a halt before the avatar. Leaning over, Enki placed a fiery hand upon each of the creature's heads, calling a blessing upon the Orthoon for the beneficence of the great throne of Adonai. The flames of Enki's body did not burn the creature, though Friedrich sensed that something of power and grace passed through the touch of Enki into the Orthoon. Enki straightened back up, growing quiet and still for an extended period of time. Friedrich looked intently at the avatar, taking note of the entity's change in mood. Radiant and mighty, a creature of purity and light, Enki was still a conscious spirit capable of feeling. Enki was one of the avatars that Friedrich most often had encountered across the expanse of Purgatorion, and frequently enough that he had gained a little sense of familiarity with the powerful creature. He had witnessed Enki growing silent and distant on many occasions, but had never felt comfortable enough to make a personal inquiry of one of Adonai's high avatars. The current instance proved to be different, even if he was still gripped with considerable anxiety. "Enki, I have a question that I wish to ask without giving offense to you, as I do not know whether it is my place to question you," Friedrich ventured, regretting giving voice to the words as soon as he had set them free. "Did you ever ask questions of Adonai before?" Enki replied, turning his head toward Friedrich. Friedrich nodded slowly, looking up into the fiery eyes of the avatar. Inwardly, he was trembling. "Yes. Then certainly you can ask questions of a creature, if you can ask questions of that creature's creator," Enki responded. "Who would I be to accord myself immunity when Adonai does not forbid any soul's questions before the great throne?" Friedrich girded his resolve, encouraged by the response of Enki. "I have noticed that you often draw silent, as you have now. I have also witnessed Israfel gazing into the abyss with tremendous sorrow more than once, and I know that avatars can certainly feel sorrow and pain," Friedrich said gently. "It sorrows me to see you in moments when you seem greatly saddened yourself. I am just a mere exile, and I know that I presume much in asking this of you, but what is it that causes you such a terrible sorrow?" Enki remained quiet for a few moments, and Friedrich feared that he had treaded too far with the avatar. At last, Enki nodded and answered. "A separation exists that burns within my own spirit," Enki said. "Erishkigal, who is somewhere deep in that infinite abyss, is always in my spirit and in my mind. My very essence, where it attends the great throne, sorrows over her fate. Only the grace of Adonai keeps my spirit from being entirely consumed over the loss of her so long ago. My only hope is that she is yet out of the reach of Diablos. I have heard something of this, of how Erishkigal gathered up some of the offspring of the fallen avatars and humans, seeking to spare them from the great deluge that was loosed upon the world. It is said that she was convinced that the ones with her were outcasts of their kind, who had not done evil in the world as had their brethren," Friedrich said in a low, sympathetic voice, feeling the pain of Enki like pulsating waves of heat. "And she was correct. The creatures that she had gathered up had not followed the path of wickedness that their kindred had taken," Enki said. "They were outcasts, hated by their own kind, such as they themselves would have been hunted down, slain to the last by the fell avatars and their bloodlusted progeny. Erishkigal is very, very dear to me, as we shared a special bond throughout all time. A misunderstood avatar's gentle nature brought her an inviolable strength She sought only to bring mercy to the outcast, frightened creatures. The radiance of Enki shifted, and Friedrich was flooded with feelings of deep, burning sorrow that emanated from the Avatar. He felt the tremendous sadness that endured within the eternal creature before him. At an intimate level that could not be conveyed by words. At once he regretted having evoked the raw feelings by his questions. Again, as if the Avatar had sensed his thoughts, Enki spoke. The sorrow is always present, even if dwelling deep inside my spirit. It is nothing for you to feel guilt over. I simply miss Arishkigal, and I cannot hope to find her whereabouts in the abyss, even when I am certain in the innermost part of my spirit that she can return to the White City and bring those with her along. I do not know what purpose keeps her hidden within the darkness, and I fear that I may never discover it. Not until time itself is brought to an end, and only Adonai knows when that moment will come. Why cannot she be found? Friedrich asked, perplexed by the thought that an immensely powerful avatar like Enki could be stymied in such a seemingly minor way. The abyss, even more so than Purgatorion, is part of that which has been separated from the fullness of Adonai, Enki explained. As a creature of Adonai's grace, I cannot traverse the abyss with the same connection that I have with beings dwelling in the realms beyond the White City. The abyss is a bottomless chasm with all manner of dangers, even beyond the adversary's tenfold realm. Unless I have some manner of bearing, a faint sense of her to focus upon, then I cannot hope to find her. It would be a rash and foolhardy path for me to try, searching blindly through infinity. Friedrich listened to Enki's words carefully, harboring a great degree of sympathy, even as he felt a tighter bond forming with the High Avatar. So your very nature as an Avatar of Adonai is the greatest barrier in your search for Arishkigal, Friedrich observed. It is a terrible irony to think of, Enki said, that being in full harmony with the realm of the purest love prevents me from finding one whom I love dearly. The wings of Enki then unfurled from behind his back. But alas, I do not wish to burden you with this abiding pain I carry, and I must return to my duties in the service of the Great Throne, Enki stated. The melancholic tone of his layered voice suddenly lightened. But it was good to see you, that obstinate Peri and your newest companion. Sele is progressing quite well, and Adonai has granted him further healing this very day. Friedrich thought of the blessing that the Avatar had given the Orthoon. And for that, I am grateful to Adonai and to you for carrying out the blessing. Thank you, Enki. It is a joy to carry out such a task, Enki said. Farewell for now, precious soul. I am sure that it will not be long before we meet again. With silken grace, Enki took to flight and soared upward, hastening toward the multi-hued firmament. Friedrich watched the form of the Avatar grow smaller in the distance before disappearing at last within the shimmering, vivid spectrum. Something like tears welled up and began to fall down from the eyes of Friedrich, though the shimmering drops were not anything physical in nature. They were the purest substance of emotion, and he could not stop them from emerging as he sorrowed over the bitter plight of his personal friend. For that is what Enki had essentially become to Friedrich at the moment that the Avatar had confided his individual pain to the exile. Who was I to ask him about such a thing? What can a weakling like me hope to do when one such as Enki is confounded? Friedrich bemoaned. Do not cry, Friedrich, Asian said gently, fluttering at his right shoulder. He felt the tingle of her little hand as she wiped at his eyes, a spirit hand brushing against a spirit face. He felt his left hand lifted up by the Orthoon. As Sele pushed it upward, nuzzled its other head gently against him. The creature emitted a low whine as if echoing the sadness within Friedrich. Friedrich felt it a severe loss, burning with the desire to do something for his Avatar friend while knowing that he was just an exile. An imperfect soul struggling towards the moment that he could approach the White City's unsullied radiance. Maybe what you could think of as weakness could be something to use on behalf of Enki, Asean suggested in a low, soft voice after a long period had passed. Meaning? Asked Friedrich. But Enki cannot probe the abyss due to the perfect state of his spirit, while you, like me, are still imperfect. Something within her words tugged at him, and he turned his eyes toward the little being. How can being flawed be an advantage, Friedrich asked the Peri. Maybe you can help him, as you might not be instructed the same way, Asean explained further. Something within you is still corrupted with the nature of the abyss, and perhaps that connection can be turned to some manner of use. The Peri was on to something of significance, that much Friedrich knew, as he turned the notion over and over within his mind. Go and play with Sele, Friedrich asked the Peri. I need some time to meditate on what you've just said. A look of curiosity formed in the Peri's face, but she did not press him for an explanation. Gliding forward, she looked down at the Orthoon. Come on, Sele, see if you can catch me now, she called out to the creature. With a burst of energy, the Orthoon leaped after her, both of its heads barking excitedly as it gave chase to Asean. Friedrich listened to her merry laugh as she dived and swooped around the Orthoon, narrowly avoiding his playful jumps and swipes. Friedrich smiled at the sight, before turning his thoughts to the plan that was already germinating inside of him. And that brings it to the end of that segment.
Wow. Damn, boy.
That gives you a little flavor.
Yeah.
You know, things to come and quests to be born. Yeah.
You know, I'm caught up in the whole, you kind of developed a mythology here.
Yes, and you know, and those that know their Sumerian Babylonian lore know that Enki is the water god of the Babylonian myths,
okay.
and I've turned him into a you know, an avatar in this one, so he's a, you know, I you know, for lack of a better word, you know, immensely powerful angelic being, you know, is the best way to describe it. And
right.
Peri Aseon is derived off of Persian lore. So the Peris and Deves go back to the Zoroastrian religion in ancient Persia. And so, you know, they were originally, you know, evil beings. And in this one, you know, I've actually come across lore of the Peris becoming kind of like, almost like prodigal, you know, prodigal fairies, you know, trying to seek redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So she's part of this race of fairies that have actually, you know, tried to make their way back from, you know, serving the abyss. And so, yeah, so it weaves together quite a bit of things. And, yeah, and its own, I put my own twists on it and kind of, you know, brought all these different mythologies kind of together within their own thing and you know, had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, the Orthoon the Orthoon is from Greek mythology. It's, you know, one of the two-headed, you know, one of the offspring of one of the offspring of the gods, you know, like the Sphinx and, you know, some of the other mm-hmm. kind of creatures, you know, that were the Hydra and those kind of things. And so it's not like Cerberus, but it was another two-headed, you know, dog creature. So, it does weave together quite a bit.
Is that difficult to do you think? Or did you have any difficulty weaving so many together?
Not really, because I've always been very much of a worldview kind of person in terms of, you know, I love to look at, you know, the similarities between different cultures, mythological and spiritual lores, and seeing the similarities, the things that bind them, the characteristics that, you know, similar and sometimes different. And it's kind of fun to kind of find a medium like this where I can kind of, you know, kind of bring them together to play in the same, you know, the same setting. And, you know, so I do that extensively and, you know, in the first book, you know, I had stuff from, you know, Asian lore and, you know, and second book I had, you know, some things from Russian lore. And, yeah, so, yeah, I draw upon a wide range of traditions to, you know, both religious traditions and mythological traditions and kind of, you know, just bring it together in a, you know, a fun, fantastical setting that I hope, you know, that readers enjoy, you know, and then also gain some encouragement from, because I, you know, I want to have a little bit of a boost underneath it.
Gee, you must be psychic. You're kind of like leading me into the next question, because I don't want to get into philosophical debates here, but my question, I guess, is, as I ask rather trepidatiously, does that affect your own belief system in what Stephen believes, not part of the book world, but part of your inner world?
Well, I'm not so, I guess my mind is not so absorbed in the fantasy as to believe that my book series is an accurate portrayal of reality, you know, per se.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that.
I mean,
that.
It's very, very symbolic. And so, no, you know, and like I said, I do borrow from a lot of different traditions and have fun with them. And, you know, so, but as far as for me, I mean, I guess it, you know, it just kind of in a way it helps me, you know, sometimes work through things. And, you know, and like I said, you know, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, in a more of a symbolic or metaphorical way, you know, I think it helps you work through some of your own questions and things you struggle with. And for me, most things are struggle, to be frank. And, you know, because I wasn't blessed with great mystical abilities or the vision of a seer or prophet, you know, but it's,
right.
But, you know, but it's kind of fun to dabble in those kind of spheres. And, you know, yeah, it does help. you know, you'd deal with some of the things that trouble you.
And my question was kind of going in, because when I was researching my first book and spent a lot of time not only looking at the Judeo-Christian but the pagan and the Celtic and Hindu, and it kind of asking questions and kind of worked into my internal philosophy, if that makes sense.
Sure. And I don't think anybody has a complete grasp on the great answers and great questions. So who knows? You know, you might, you know, find yourself on a course that's kind of, you know, leading you in a good direction, you know, in terms of being, you know, edifying or reinforcing
right.
of, you know, some of the things you hold on to.
We are running out of time, my darling.
Already?
I know. It passes so quick. Tell us, where are you going to be tomorrow? Big day.
The launch day, yes. Joseph Beth, my hometown, signing. It is the launch event for Seventh Throne, 7 p.m. 7 p.m. is when it starts. We got a slew of things planned. Presentation, Q&A. We have an exclusive collectible print made just for tomorrow night that's going to be given out to all attendees. We have door prizes, an after party at Regattas, which is a restaurant right next door. And, come on out. It's not your typical book event. It's an event. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And we pull out all the bells and whistles, because this is a night I can share with friends. And frankly, tomorrow night I need it. Yeah, I need a good positive night with everybody. Yeah, because things have been a little bit out of balance lately. So tomorrow night I'm looking for kind of an uplift. So come one, come all, and you don't feel
you need
to have to buy a book. Yeah, I mean, come and have
you
fun.
You will definitely see me there. You will definitely
awesome.
See me there.
Awesome.
I will be there.
Yeah,
I will walk up. I'll be the blonde with the hair down to her butt.
All right. I will. That sounds awesome.
All
right. Can't miss you then. I can't miss you.
No, you won't. No, you won't. Dude, I got to let you go. But I will definitely see you tomorrow. And everybody, if you're in the Lexington, Kentucky area, Joseph Beth tomorrow night, 7 p.m.
Thanks, Jesse. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stephen. See you tomorrow, darling.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Damn, there's never enough time, and I was so into that book, and then I kept thinking of more questions I wanted to ask and more things I wanted to know and more I wanted to delve into the world, and I wanted to discuss the avatars. If you'd like to learn more about this story or its author, come visit our website at www.edenroad.com/radio/schedule to find the page that we have for Stephen. We invite you to use all of the links that we have on the author pages to purchase books by those authors. Every book you purchase helps support Eden Road Radio's programming and helps us find new authors for you to meet. You can catch up on past episodes because all podcasts are available through iTunes and Stitcher Radio, always available on the Eden Road Radio website, as well as through blogtalkradio.com/Eden Road. Remember, those podcasts are free. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. So follow and friend us to find out who's coming on the show next and when we'll be having that next contest. And, of course, don't forget that our first two books are finally up on the Amazon Kindle bookstore website. So go into the Kindle bookstore, look for The Adventures of the Magnificent Seven by David Roth, Illusions and Reality by J.W. Coffey. Be one of the first to read and go review on Barnes & Noble and iBookstore as well. Please give us your honest opinion. We'd love to have it. Don't forget, Lexington area, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. at the Joseph Beth Bookseller in the Lexington Green Shopping Center or Mall off of Nicholasville Road at the juncture of New Circle Road. For those of you that are Lexingtonites and familiar with the area, I'm definitely going to be there, going to go see my buddy Stephen, and I want to hear all about it. Thanks for joining me. Don't forget, take a walk on the Eden Road. You never know what you'll find. Good night.